Do you have a particular, you know, cherished memory of playing for Gloucester?
Just playing. At the time I retired, I played against Exeter, and that day I had to play Lucy because for whatever reason we didn't have the players. And I played the game. We beat Leicester in the cup final in 1978. We killed them 6-3, I think it was. And I announced my retirement, and I knew there was time now. There was a couple of blokes during that year that I murdered years on the way. I thought, well, mate, I'd struggle there a bit, and I'm 32 now. And you didn't have the advantage of the, like now, I really do envy the management and the conditioning of the players of today. We had to do all that ourselves. So I thought, well, I'm not going to have another year of this. I'm out of it. And I played the Exeter game, and as the game went, John Watkins was the captain, and as the game went to an end, I was almost counting the minutes as to, I'll never do this again. I find it quite hard to sort of handle it, because it was a stage of your life, you know, that it's going to end now. That's it. And we played the game, and the final whistle went, and we won. I cried like a baby. I remember going to the dressing room, and there was other blokes looking at me, and I said, why are you so upset? And I couldn't explain it to them. I saw young Shane Williams do the same when he finished with Wales. And I fully understood it. And the other day I saw James Simpson Daniel. And I knew exactly what was in his mind. There's some of those players that I've found to be real Gloucester players. The John Watkins, Lyndon Road second round on the score, till I can tell you about him in a second, how we grew up together. Andy Hazel, Terry Fanalua, he came from a Pacific Island,
yeah,
and became
ended up as, yeah, Terry from Gloucester.
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't believe that, could you?
Who's over the other side of the ground now? He's working in the community department.
But he's one of them, you know, that I'd single. Yeah. Simpson Daniel himself, who was so Gloucester. Alan Brimley played 500 games. Bob Clues played 500 games. So week in, week out, those blokes were not taking your John Bayliss, Dick Smith, Mickey Booth, they were real Gloucester people. Yeah. Richard Mogg played 500 games, Mogg, and he's a Trenwith kid, he was offered rugby league, never went, yeah, and turned in, and there's another one, never got a cap, never, how on earth, he was never capped. It's just ridiculous if you could see him play. He was our fastest man. He was the James Simpson Daniel of his era. Yeah. He was our standout star. But those are the people I think are special. And I haven't got any special memory or individually, even winning those cups. Or the very first game, all the first game told me, I played a top man and he didn't beat me. And mate, that did so much for me. The next week I was up at Leicester, the England prop, I'll give him a slap. I wasn't bothered. And I didn't bother about it forever. After that, when I went on the tours with the Lions in England and all that, I always thought there was going to be someone that would come out of a scrum somewhere. And if you go in South Africa, every Wednesday there's a monster waiting. All there was props. And I remember thinking to myself, well, this is all right, they ain't beating me. And then the Lions, then we killed them. We played 22 games. Mm-hmm. Every time we got down there, that's what we had, was a strong back. That's how Sid Miller picked it. Willie John McBride picked those teams. So the Gloucester culture for me was what I enjoyed, and is what I missed most when I didn't play. And yeah, I have to shut myself off from it now. When we're losing now, I watch the game and I have a deep disappointment that we're not doing so well. Or when we're winning, I go, go on, boys, now we can play. Now we're going to do this. Move it to this. Yeah. I play the game in my head. I suppose something that never leaves you.
Let me take you back to John Watkins.
Yeah, John Watkins. Well, John Watkins, we first met when he was playing at Lyndon Road Secondary Modern School, and I was at Long Leven Secondary Modern School at Blackbridge, where the Crichton School is, you know. And there was a running track around there, and we used to, there was no showers in those days. We used to ride up there on our bikes, play the game, and we talk about health and safety, and ride home and have a bath home, you know. And he played, we play in the football team 1 week, and the next week we play Adderley, and then we play Linden Road, and then we go and play one of the established rugby schools, Crypt or Richings, always much better than us, to be honest. And I'd gone up to play John Watkins, and he played on the wing, and he was one of those. He was reserved. He wasn't shy or nervous. And if you said hello to him, he'd say hello to you. But he was on the wing, and he wasn't particularly good. He wanted to play. You could see he wanted to please. He wanted to be involved. He was that sort of kid, you know. And then Gloucester Colts played 4 or 5 games early in the season, so you could see who was going to play for the United the following year. And he turns up there. So he's playing for the Gordon Lee. And, you know, he started to come through then, but they didn't put him in the pack even then. He played on the wing. And then I come to see the Gordon League play in a North Gloucester Combination Cup final, and John Watkins had put weight on. He had a band round his head, was the fashion at the time. He's playing number 8 and getting about the field. Yeah, good, not a tall man. It wasn't a line-out specialist, but he carried the ball well, and he enjoyed the forward stuff. You could see that. And then, was he ended up moving to Blindside, and he came to Gloucester, and he played with great distinction. He was one of those kids. He'd stop saying, "What are you doing then?" Well, he'd look at you and say something, you know. So you think you're letting somebody down, but how he looked at you, you know. So what do you mean? And he said, "Well, we got it." Then he just points something out. Oh, okay. And because after I was captain, he was captain for 3 years running. He did really well as a captain of Gloucester. But I tell you where he came to the fore. I had two tours in the mid-70s. Early 70s. In 1972, we went to South Africa with England, and we played 7 or 8 games. And he excelled himself, you know. He was on that hard ground there, and he loved the sun. He was always brown, you know, and he was out in the, because the bounce of the ball was different. And when you played at altitude, it went further and higher. And he seemed to read all that. I don't know how he did or what, but I had a job because I was scrummaging against South African props, and I'm down there thinking, bang, and John was doing well. You don't really take a lot of notes of what anyone else is doing. Then one day. And this was a major, major thing. They called out the team to play South Africa at Ellis Park. And at 6,000 feet above sea level, they had all these temporary scaffoldings. There must have been 100,000 people in there. No television. You had to get in to see it, you see. And, they hated us. Like, I don't know if they still remember the Boer War, but we were seen as softies. We were playing white, you know. We run out there, and their props smashed them. Jan Webster, the little scrum half, in the first, stamped on his foot, and I thought then that Gloucester mentality. I thought, how did he get through there? You know, I was standing at the front actually, and Stack Stevens was the other prop, because Rancon didn't play. And the next time he come through, I thought, yeah, go and have some of that. Little Jan's heart, you could see him go, whoa, because I smacked this bloke, but he had enough of it, like, you know. And little Jan starts playing well now, and then the ball goes up in the air, right there. Their back row was Morny Duplessis, Jan Ellis and Piet Grayling. Legends, all of them. And they're playing Little John Watkins. And the ball went up in the field. I'm going across the field now. It's about 3-3, something like that. You know, no one's pulled away. And the ball came right into the middle, right in the middle of our half. And it bounced badly. And John Watkins was running back towards his line. He took it, turned, and he ran straight past their back row. Because they were expecting him to fan it or anywhere. And I went, whoa, I was tucked in behind him and got a pass, you know. He got to the halfway line and then turned around, and then I watched him, John, he was everywhere. And when you hear the word legend or the best of something, for that period in his life, and many boxers are this, they're only world champion for a month or a year or this or that. John Watkins has been missed. A lot of people have missed what he was. And in that time and at that moment, I remember seeing him play. I was 10 yards away from him. He was the best player in his position in the world. They put him to Mark Sidgoin the following year against the All Blacks in New Zealand, and he won that game. They won that game as well. So, you know, and something happened in that game in South Africa.
Well, there aren't many people who can say, I've played for England and I've won in New Zealand and South Africa.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's so modest. We see him now.
He is a very modest man. Yeah,
very, 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 and he's a typical Gloucester.
In recent years, of course, it's been an honour for many junior clubs locally to have him refereeing them. But I bet a lot of them don't realise what a player he was.
Yeah. A lot wouldn't want to describe them as I have just done, because but I really do mean that. I don't say it lightly because I know him, or he's a Gloucester kid. And something else happened in that game.
Well, he won a tremendous amount of ball, didn't he? Because he got to breakdowns first,
and he was the six. You see what happened with the number seven used to do that. He'd get to it, turn it over, and he was double ball you got with him.
Yeah.
You know, and then he learned how to. We used to run up Robinswood Hill together. We'd meet the bottom of the hill and we'd run together. I never beat him in all the years we'd done it. I never beat him. But when he started getting to the hard part, when we get two thirds up it, and he was taking short steps, I used to think I want to do this now. I'm going to keep you going. He'd give you that encouragement. But I was just trying to come up with something that happened in that game that was him. And I want to tell you about it. It was 20 minutes to go. And we're in front. We're beating South Africa at 6,000 feet above sea level. I'm thinking to myself, the referee's South African, the crowd's South African. And they dealt with Stax Stevens, got kicked, a big slice in his head like this. And he looked at Cotton, Pullin. Pullin was the captain. And he looked at him, and Pullin said, off. Didn't call an ambulance, but just took him straight off. And clearly, he wasn't going to come back. And there was no replacements. So I looked at him, and Pullin looked at me, and he just nodded. So that means you've got to go loose, Ed, and deal with this bloke. And that was Selman, who trod on the kid before, you see. So I thought, well, I know the game here now. Because if you're loose, Ed, you've got that arm, you see. If you're tight, Ed, it's different. You've got to go with the left. It's very, technically, if you've got to sort something out, that's an easier way to do it. So we got down, and I never thought who would go tight, Ed. And I looked across. Bloody John Watkins' boots.
Yeah.
John Watkins, 14 stone by through against this bloke, Nick Brazane now. He played the four tests against the Lions in 74, and he played this test now. And I'm having an afternoon with him. You know, he's a good lucid set after a springbok lucid, like Moff Miber and all them he was. In goes Watkins, because his feet come off the ground, but he hung on, he won the ball. And Pullin said to me, so we had to sort a few things out on our side. Look, they were coming low with us. But Pullin said, well, don't worry about it, he said. As long as we keep getting the ball, don't matter if you go up, just keep battling. And he stuck that. I remember thinking to myself, now, we got 20 minutes to go, we're 6,000 feet above sea level, 8,000 miles from home. There are no supporters there. You didn't have coach loads of support. Everyone in the ground was a South African supporter. We had a South African referee because they didn't have neutral refs at that stage. We're playing against the Springboks in a 7-man pack with a 14 stone tight end. I thought, you don't get any burst than this. Oh, John, come off after it. And then suddenly the ball went across. Watkins got involved in winning that ball. It went out to Morley, and he cut back off the left and scored midway out between the uprights and the flag. And Sam Doble kicked it. And I looked across at John Watkins, because he was crouched up then. He'd had some pain. And we had a couple of ball scrums. I think we played 20 minutes. He thinks, whenever I talked to him about it, that I said he went in 20 scrums. But I didn't say that. What I said was that he played 20 minutes. And we probably added in that. You did in those days. You had 30 scrums a game, half a dozen scrums. Well, that was make or break. I mean, now, that would never happen. You'd get killed, literally. You wouldn't be able to stand in a scrum like that. So that was a measure of the man. And you know, because we come from local rugby and all that, and Gordon Lee didn't back down to Matson, and Matson didn't back down to Coney, and the Long Lemons went and played them wherever they was, and Old Saints would do this, and we had all that in this city, and we never said a word to each other, and we never mentioned it until about a couple of months ago. It came up in an interview somewhere that he was doing, and he said, how long do you think it was, mate? And I said, 20. He said, oh, we didn't have 20 scrums. I said, no, 20 minutes. So we just, that was it, that was our job. Yeah. Two Gloucester kids went in that front row, and fairly, Pullin was only from down in Aust by Seven Bridge there, three Gloucestershire boys, and we did that. And so that's Watkins for you. I couldn't speak highly. He wasn't as flamboyant as Dick Smith, had that run and all that, but for you, 100% graft on the floor, get the ball, turn it over, get a kick in.
Yeah.
Well, great.
And I bet he had a better suntan than you.
He had a better suntan than everyone.
As he still does.
Well, the only bloke who had better brown legs than him was Terry Hobson. I don't think probably John Watkins would agree with that, but it's true.